Oh my gosh, how fun. We're going to show that video at the end of the service as well, because I know a lot of the families went up and took their kids to the nurseries and that. But we're going to show that again right at the very end. But wasn't that an awesome time that we had, Vacation Bible School? I don't know if any of you saw it. That's why I wanted to let everybody know what was happening, because it was a very powerful event for children. And I just want to, all those that were involved in Vacation Bible School, if you were a worker, a counselor, worked with the kids, helped in putting all these decorations up or whatever, if you did anything with Vacation Bible School, would you please stand right now? Just please stand. I want to give you a hand. Just want to thank you. Thank you very, very much. You know, I want to, Melissa, where are you at, Melissa Wilson? Thank you for leading them so well. She's somewhere out there. We just thank you as well for the great job that you're doing. God loves kids. Jesus told them, hey, they're not a nuisance. Bring them to me. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. They're our future. They're our future. And I just want to thank everybody, because to me, at Living Faith Fellowship, family is super important. Those children are important to us. What we do up in the daycare, what we do in our daycare, what we do in our school, what we do in nurseries up here, what we do in children's church is very, very important to me, because we get the privilege and opportunity of planting more of the seed of Jesus Christ inside of these young and impressionable hearts. And that one day, they're going to do things that go way beyond us. You know, it talks about that children are like arrows. And blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. Because an arrow goes beyond where you are. I go to here, I shoot an arrow, the arrow goes further than me. And the beauty of our children is they're going to go further than you. You give them the great start. You bring them up to where you are and launch them further into the things of God. And so, how cool is that? That we get to love and we get to take some time to let them know that they are so doggone special. That's why I give lollipops out to them after every service. I want those kids to know that it's fun to go to church, that the pastor loves them, and we care about kids, and we will always be doing that. So anyway, thank you all that were involved. I think we had over 100 volunteers in order to make all that happen. So, we showed the kids about this Sun Life treasure and all that. I think that there's a treasure inside of them. There's a treasure inside of them. I've entitled the message this morning, The Treasure Inside. You are God's treasure. You are God's treasure. Not just the little children. You are too. You're God's treasure. I love this verse in Deuteronomy 14:2. It says this. For you are a holy people to the Lord, your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself. I'm going to digress for just a moment, because I read something that was pretty interesting about this chosen. Chosen you to be a people for himself. Because just a while ago, we celebrated the 500th year of the Reformation, and we talked about Calvinism versus Arminianism and that whole idea. And I came across this, and I just wanted to bring this back up. Did God choose us, or did we choose him? Did God choose us, or did we choose him? Are we predestined by God, or are we choosing ourselves? Is it divine selection or human responsibility? Is it Calvinism or Arminianism? It's the age-old question, right? Which one is it? Which one is it? Which one is it? Which one is it? Pick A or B. And I loved what I was reading here, and I just want to share this. It said, the difficulty in putting divine election and human responsibility together is understanding how both can be true. That both are true is taught in the Bible. Both are true is taught in the Bible. How both can be true is apparently incomprehensible to finite human minds. No one has ever been able to explain this antinomy. You know what an antinomy is? I did not know either, so I looked up. What did somebody say?
Tell us.
I will tell you. Antinomy, a contradiction between two apparently equal valid principles. A contradiction between two beliefs or conclusions that are in themselves reasonable. A paradox, if you will. But it says no one's been able to describe this satisfactorily. Nobody does. Nobody goes, oh yeah, yeah, okay, great, because you're still, but what about? And I think the thing about God is so cool is he's so big you can't put him in a box. You're just not going to get all of him and go, well, I got God in the box, we're done, I know him, there it is, I got everything I know about God. You're not going to. You're going to scratch your head a lot as you grow in Christ. Why did that happen? God, what are you doing? I don't understand this. It seems if you were God, you would, all of those questions happen because he's God. He's God. He doesn't operate with a finite brain. He operates with an infinite one. One that goes on and on and on and on. We're trying to understand eternal and divine principles with finite minds. But God is not limited to our logic or to our laws. He created them. I love that about God. I love that God can do whatever he wants because it makes him so huge. When you're in a jam or something, you're going, oh, I don't think God can do this because he just doesn't do that. He's so huge, he can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. He can take guys that are thrown into a fire and jump in there with them and say, hey, watch this. Nothing's going to hurt you. And they're all going, whoa, dude, look at this. This is awesome. I'm on fire. I mean, literally this expression, I'm on fire. They're on fire. I'm on fire for the Lord. I mean, we think that's a new terminology. Man, that happened way back Old Testament. And come out not smelling as if they're burnt. How? How does God get you out of a jam like that? Supernaturally, beyond reasoning, beyond understanding. He's able to do abundantly above and beyond what you could ask or think or imagine. That's the God that we serve. How awesome is that? Get up in the morning going, oh, I got all these problems, but I got a God who's huge. He's infinite. He's awesome. You can't put him in a box. Sometimes he makes no sense, but it's perfectly sensible to him. How can it be? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So God has chosen us to be a people for himself. It says he's chosen you to be a people for himself. And then here's the word I wanted to get to. A special treasure. A special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. So God has chosen you to be a people to himself. A special treasure. You're a special treasure. You are in God's treasure chest. I open this up. You're in there. As I was chatting with Catherine, I think I was chatting with Joe. Was it with you, Joe? I don't know. I was chatting with somebody just before we came on. I go, wouldn't it be cool if we put a kid in there? And then when I open it up, you're in there, and then have the kid, come on out, have the kid pop out. That would be awesome. And I thought, oh my gosh, some grandma out there will kill me. Somebody will just go, you put the kid in the box? I mean, I didn't want a lawsuit, so we didn't put him in there. But imagine, he's jumping out. Wasn't that cool? Look at, he jumped out. Wow, good. You are in there. You're his treasure. When God looks what he values, what he treasures, you are in here. You are what bring value to his life. What he values is you. You're valuable to him. You're not some sort of junk. You're not some sort of stupid thing. You're not some rock you just discard. You're something that's so precious and so valuable, he puts you, if you will, in his treasure box. Treasure. You're his treasure. You're his treasure. The word special treasure. Segula is the Hebrew word here. And it means to shut up. Wealth. It's like, shut up. You know, what are you telling me? To shut up? No, it's that, you know that expression where he says, shut up. It's like, dude, I can't believe it. Wow, it's awesome. Shut up. He's got, shut up, wealth inside of you. Man, you're valuable to him. He has shut some things up inside of you that are of great value to him. No matter what you've done or who you think you are or what you're going through, God says you are highly valuable to me. You got to understand, I just messed up and I just look at that on the internet and I just did this and I said that to that person there and I stole that and I cheated here and you're valuable to God. He places you in a position of value in His treasure chest. You're a special treasure. The word treasure means wealth. It could be money or jewels or precious metals, but it also means something of great worth or value. A collection of precious things. We're a collection of precious things to the Lord. Special to God. You always will be. You are His treasured possession. You are valuable to God. You're of great worth to God. You're God's treasure. Now, I know some of you are doing out there, you're going, really? Really? That's good for the kids because they need to hear that on Treasure Island here. But Pastor, you're saying I'm His treasure? Yeah, you are. Really? Really, am I? Sometimes we don't think so, though, right? After a goof up, a mess up, a sin, a this, what? Don't feel so valuable. I don't know that that's who I am. I don't think so. And I think the operative word is think. I don't think so. You know, Pastor Tom's been doing an amazing series on our mental health and the power of what we're thinking, what we're thinking, what we're thinking. And sometimes we think wrong thoughts. We're not thinking correctly. You're not thinking accurately. You're not thinking the way God thinks. You're thinking a different way. You're thinking the way, hear me now, you're thinking the way the enemy wants you to think. When you start doubting, when you start bashing yourself, when you consider yourself of no value and you let go. The enemy would love to see you with no value. I just love the series that he's doing, you know, because the mindset you have determines the next step you will take. The mindset you have right now will determine the next step you're going to take. If you're discouraged and feeling hopeless, the next step you'll take could be suicide, could be all sorts of junk, it could be all sorts of things that are not going to be good to you. But if your mindset is, I am a treasured possession of God, I am valuable to God. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have a destiny. Your next step moves differently than when you are just a piece of garbage. You are valuable. And your mindset determines the next step that you're going to take. Make sure your mind is melted with God's and you're thinking His thought because He thinks positive thoughts about you. Change your thoughts and you change your world. Change your thoughts and you change your world. It seems so impossible and so hard to change those thoughts. But you need to start thinking the way God thinks and the way that God sees you. His thoughts are so positive. So positive what He thinks about you. I think in difficult times when we're going through mundane situations, it's sometimes hard to imagine that God cares about little old me. That God even thinks about me? Why would He think about me? But He does. You see, He cares about us. He has a plan for us. He will not forsake us. He wants to spend eternity with us. He's got all of these great things that He wants to do in and through and with you. If we'll let Him. If we won't let the enemy destroy our thinking and destroy our direction in life because of that thinking. But if we'll think His thoughts, we'll move in an amazing way and fulfill a destiny that's beyond your wildest dreams. Here's some thoughts that God thinks about you. Jeremiah 29:11, you know these. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts of peace, that word is shalom. It means well, happy, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity, peace. It means to be well off. He's thinking good thoughts about you, not evil thoughts about you. He's thinking, I'm just going to help this guy. I know he's having trouble. I'm going to pick him up. I know he's fallen. I'm going to get him back up and I'm going to wash him off. I'm going to let him know he's got purpose. I'm going to let him know he's got destiny. I'm going to put things in his life. I'm going to help him. I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to be there for him. I'm going to give him the right word as he turns and opens the Bible up this morning and he spends some quiet time with me. I'm going to talk. I'm going to encourage. That's what he's thinking about you. He's not thinking evil. He's not going, why did I make that? Why did I make that? It's only good to be squashed. You are such a disappointment to everybody. Zing, you're gone. That's not what he's thinking. Even in all the disappointments you have in your life and all the failings and shortcomings, he's going, there's great possibility here. I got some great ideas. I got some great stuff planned here. Don't give up. I'm just using you. I'm just marinating you. I'm just allowing you to go through some things so you'll have a tender heart as you minister to other people down the line. Instead of, hey, God's just wonderful. He's just great. No, God's confusing. He's hard. He's difficult. I don't understand. But he's worth serving. Amen. I've seen what he's done in my life. Hang in there. Hang in there. Because his help is right around the corner. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future, something beyond right now, and a hope. A hope. You know, you lose hope, you lose your life. God is the essence of hope. 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 The answer for America is the hope that comes in Christ. The answer for the world is the hope that comes in Christ. The answer for our racial problems is the hope that comes in Christ. The answer for our economic problems is the hope that comes in Christ. The answer for everything is the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. He gives us hope. He makes us hopeful. Another verse here on thoughts. How precious are your thoughts, O God, to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, and who could count them? They would be more in number than the sand. Do you know how many grains of sand are on the, well, is estimated? 7.5 times 10 to the 18th grains of sand. 7.5 times 10 to the 18th grains of sand on the earth. 7 quintillion, 500 quadrillion grains of sand. Okay, if you thought, I didn't divide this, to divide between a person's lifetime. I wish I would have done that. Somebody do that. Figure out, that's what it is, how many grains of sand. Give a person 75, 80 years. Divide that out and figure out how many thoughts does he have a day or a minute? Somebody out there who likes math. Do that. I like math. I would have done that, but I can't do it in my head. What if I was going to carry the four? Okay, I can't do it. He thinks these thoughts about you. They would be more than number than the sand on the sea. And when I awake, I am still with you. He didn't leave you. He didn't forsake you because you didn't live up to the expectations you probably wanted to in your life or probably should have. But the Lord is gracious. He's going to keep encouraging you, keep growing you, and use those failures to motivate the future successes. He just thinks about you a lot. And it doesn't say, oh, I know somebody out there going, how precious. No, it says precious. So you can't say his thoughts, well, some of them were bad thoughts about me because I'm just not. No, it's a precious thought. Precious thoughts. 7 quintillion, 500 quadrillion precious thoughts about you. Okay? I mean, that's more than pedal, you know, he loves me. I mean, that's a lot of thoughts.
Ryan says it's 1 to the 10 times 16th power per hour.
How can it be that? It can't be to the 16th power?
That's what he said.
Wow. 1 times 10 to the 16th. And it was 7.5 times 10 to the 18th, so we only did two zeros back.
3 billion a second.
Okay. Now I'm just thinking that's a hard to think that many thoughts.
If you took everything I did in my life and thought about it, there are not 3 billion thoughts. He's thinking precious thought, 3 billion of them a second? And you're over there going, oh, he hates me. He just, 3 billion of them. He's saying, get up, get going, man. I got great stuff ahead for you. I got treasure in you. I've invested in you. You're not a disappointment to me. You're a treasure. You're a treasure. You're a treasure. Because God thinks positively about you, do you think positively about you? He thinks positively about you. Do you? The judge of the universe knows everything you've done, good, bad, and ugly, all of that, knows everything about you. He looks at you and thinks positively. How do you think about yourself? If you're thinking any negatively, you have to understand the influence of the devil is permeated through your thinking. Now, to say, hey, I should change here and do it, evaluating stuff is great, but to go, I am such a... We need to realize how positive God is towards you. 3 billion a second? Holy cow. Do you think positively about you? Let me add a second question here. Do you think positively about God? The one who thinks, how many billion? 3 billion positive thoughts a second about you? How do you think about him? Oh, I don't like him. I don't want to serve him. He's old fashioned. What? Your greatest asset in life? What do you think about him? What do you think about God? Do you thank him? He thinks 3 billion thoughts about you in a second. How many do you think about him? I started thinking that you are God's treasure. But is God your treasure? I want to turn around here for the latter part of the message. You are God's treasure. Is God your treasure? Is he your treasure? Is he what you invest in? In Matthew 13, all of these are going to, I'm going to give you, I think, four scriptures here. They're all going to be Jesus speaking about where you invest treasure. All of these are going to be Jesus talking about how are you investing? Where are you putting treasure? Where is it going? In Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it goes and sells 25 shares of Microsoft. Sells all of his shares of Microsoft. And if everything else, all that he has, and buys that field, he sees there's treasure in there. This is our treasure box. Hard to put a kid in here. But God's in there. Woo! What's in your treasure box? What do you value? Do you value your Christianity, your walk with the Lord? Do you value it so much you'll sell everything you have because you know it's in here? You realize, oh my gosh, here's a walk with the Lord. Here's Jesus Christ. Here's what he has for me. Oh man, I want to sell out for the kingdom of God. And the guy goes, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to take everything I have and I'm going to buy this treasure. And that treasure is Jesus Christ. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. Oh my gosh. He sells it all for that treasure, all of his earthly treasure, for that which is eternal, heavenly, divine treasure. Is that what we feel about him? That you would sell everything just to be with him? Sell out everything you have. Just to know that you're his.
that He's your treasure. Luke 12, again, Jesus speaking. Then He spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. You get a lot of great stuff here in this world. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no more room to store up all my crops? I got so much stinking wealth, I can't store it all. What am I going to do? So he says, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. Hey, I can't store it all. I'm going to tear it down and build bigger things so I can put my stuff in it. I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, feeling good, man. Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. He's trying to understand this treasure value system. And he's calling somebody and how they value a fool. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he. What does that mean? He's a fool who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What are you investing in? All I got, all my IRAs, and I got a 403B, a 407K, and 917D, and I got a Roth, and I got a this one, and I got a that one, and I got to get ready for retirement. Now, I'm all for being responsible with finances. Awesome. But the best retirement you need to get ready for is the one that's going to exit from this planet to the next. How are you doing there? I mean, what return are you getting on your investment there? How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? How's your walk going? How's your quiet time? How is that relationship growing? How is it becoming a greater treasure? Or is it still worth the same thing it was when you got saved? Or have you invested it wisely and it's growing? My treasure's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm spending more time and enjoying the Lord more and praying more. I speak to myself too. Rich toward, you're a fool to have an amazing retirement plan here and have invested very, I come to church on Sunday. I don't want to miss out. I want to be here. I think God's going to come back on Sunday, so I want to be in the pew on Sunday, so when we're all going home, I'm there. What if he comes on Thursday? Bless you.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, are we growing it? Are we growing in our relationship with Christ? A fool is consumed with the treasure of the world, thus forfeiting his treasure in God. I don't want to forfeit my relationship with Christ. He needs to invest in a different bank. The next scripture. Again, Jesus speaking, Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. It's a secure bank. It's a great place. Nobody's going to steal anything up there. Where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, what you put your time, talents, and treasure into shows what you value. What are your treasures? Can I ask you, what are your treasures? You know, we have our relationship with Christ that we're growing, for sure. But what other things are treasures? I mean, your money is like, we think of treasure money. We always get money as the treasure. Money, jewels, gold, you know, pirate stuff. All of that. It's like, you know what I think is just stupid? All those pirates, all they ever did was hoard it in a cave. They never even used any of it. You come back and, hey, got all my treasure there. Dude, you're living in a dump. You got all this. I don't get it. What do you value? Let me ask you, what do you value? What has value to you? What about your memories? Are they valuable? Memories of your family? Do you have those in there? I'm creating memories with my family. I'm creating memories with my children. I'm creating memories with my friends. I value that. I got these images. I got these photos. I got this people. I value people. I'm putting them in there. I value relationships. I value grandkids. You know, it's funny because I was talking to Creighton and he said, you know, he has this old Kubota tractor. And I said, you know, you got this old Kubota tractor and it's not probably big enough or whatever. And I said, are you just going to sell that, you know, and get rid of it? You know, he was moving. And so I thought, you ought to just sell that. And he goes, I will never sell that Kubota tractor. I said, why? And I knew why, but for you, I'm asking the question, why? Why? Because my grandfather drove that tractor. My grandfather drove that tractor. He said, well, I paid more than I should have paid for it. But my grandfather drove that tractor. I want the tractor. I value that because it means something. You know, when we go through life, if all you've established is great wealth, you missed out. If your wealth becomes in the friendship and the memories and the photos that you have flying through your mind of what happened and what God did and your time with Him, then you're a rich man. Earthly treasures pale in comparison to heavenly treasure. Make sure you know what bank you're putting your treasure in is what he's trying to say here, right? One will produce eternal dividends. One will go bankrupt. Where you're investing your IRA, all that, it's going to go bankrupt someday. It's all going to burn, right? Invest in Jesus, your family, your church, your life. Thank God for all those parents invested in their kids and brought them to Vacation Bible School. Last scripture here. Mark 10:21-23. Jesus speaking about the rich young ruler, right? What do I lack? Jesus looking at him, loved him, and said to him, notice he loved him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. When Jesus told his disciples that it was hard for a rich man to get to the kingdom, that was difficult for them. You know why? Whenever they talked about it's hard for a rich man to get to heaven, they go, what? What do you mean it would be hard? You see, for the rich to enter God's kingdom, they were amazed at that thought. Because in Judaism, riches were a mark of God's favor and thus an advantage, not a barrier in relationship to God's kingdom. Job, the whole idea with Job's counselors was, dude, you must have done something. You lost your wealth. You must have done something bad. Because if you got wealth, then all of a sudden you're great. You've done wonderful things. Lose your wealth. You must be bad and horrible and done something bad. He didn't do nothing bad at all. He lost some stuff. That was just a test from God. In relation to God's kingdom, it's not the riches that Jesus was addressing, but the young ruler's self-righteous attitude he was addressing. You can't get to heaven on your righteousness, only on the righteousness of Christ. Jesus. You want to get to heaven? Jesus better be in that box that you got. And he better be growing in there. My encouragement is, why wouldn't you want him to grow? Why wouldn't you want that investment, that treasure, to grow? Take up your cross and follow me. That sounds unfun. This is supposed to be family fun day. That's an unfun thing. Doesn't sound fun. Doesn't sound fun to pick up your cross. I thought it was interesting. Our tagline with the kids, which I love, our tagline with the kids was, kids will discover God's love through games, crafts, and activities. Kids will discover that God's fun. The number one reason why I didn't accept Christ younger is I didn't think he was fun and I wanted fun. Until I found out it was the greatest fun there was. It would be boring, but I discovered that the fun and what he wants is for us to enjoy Him, not be afraid of Him. We're to fear and have awe of Him about how amazing that He is. But we're not to be afraid of Him. He wants us to enjoy Him, enjoy the life He's given us, enjoy the plan and the journey that He has for our life. There are a few tough, growing experiences along the way, but He wants us to face life positively. I think in all of us, as we're gathering treasure, and what I hope to instill is that, gosh, it was so fun growing in my relationship with Christ, gathering that treasure, reading the Word, finding out stuff about God, allowing Him to change me, save me, heal me, do so many things for me, that it was so much fun. I want to end the message here with, God wants you to enjoy your life. Family Fun Day, it's fun. It's fun to be a Christian. It's meaningful to be a Christian. And I want to end with these videos that are going to take some people, some of you out there are going to go, huh, I've never seen that. That's fine. Some of you are going to go, I remember that. Here we go.
Amazing. These are just a few of the designs that can be made with Spirograph by Kenner. Change wheels, change colors. Make a million multicolored designs, each so beautiful your eyes won't believe what your hands have done. Spirograph by Kenner. So much fun you'll never want to stop. Spirograph, the world's most fascinating new toy.
It's Kenner! It's fun!
One more.
Uphill, downhill.
This was cool,
around
man.
Around the track and back. It's Mini Sport by Kenner. The super highway and road race game for little sports. Even a three-year-old can make them go. Tilt the track, look at them climb.
Whoa!
Take Mini Sport anyplace. Nothing to plug in. The track is already assembled. Race all six cars at once. Be a real sport with Mini Sport.
I know you all look at me like, what? I just want you to know I had a Spirograph. Did anybody out there have a Spirograph? All right. I mean, eyes won't believe what your hands have made. It was true. My hands made that. How awesome. I couldn't believe it. It's incredible. And then the cars, my goodness, weren't those awesome? You know why they call them matchbox cars? Because they fit into a matchbox. You know, those stick matches, you put them in there and you close them. That's a matchbox. They're small. And then, did you see that? It'll actually go uphill. That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, we had some cool stuff back in the day. You guys have all these video games and all that junk connecting with people around the world. Who wants that? Mine goes uphill if I'm the hill. And I can make things my eyes can't even believe. Remember, I can't even believe I have done this here. I have done this here. I can't believe it. There was the Easy Bake Oven too, you know. How about that? Who had an Easy Bake Oven? Yeah, my question was, why didn't you just put it in with your mom's? I don't know. It just, it was a hard bake, you know, it did all that stuff. I mean, it was just, my point about this is this. It's Kenner's. It's fun. Ah! We did it all the time, man, as kids. We go, hey, it's Kenner. It's fun. Ah! It's Christianity. It's fun. Ah! It's awesome, man! Being a Christian and growing in Him is absolutely incredible. I was wondering, how do they get the word Kenner? It's Kenner, it's fun. Kenner is the street that the company was on. It's Kenner, it's fun. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You're amazing and that You're awesome. And You want us to have fun. Christianity's fun.
Woohoo. Lord, you want us to have treasure. We realize, Lord, that we're your treasure. We're your treasure. God, we want you to know that we value you. We put you in our treasure box, that which we value, our relationship with you, our time with you. We love you, Lord. You're so good. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making this journey with you meaningful, exciting, an adventure, fun, Lord. My eyes can't believe what you've done with our lives. My eyes can't believe what you've done with our lives. Lord, we're not done yet. We want to continue to invest, to enjoy the treasure, to grow it, and to advance those that are under us, the next generation, and to inspire them unto great things in the kingdom of God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for being so, so, so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor Phil. Fantastic message. Fantastic message. For those of you parents who weren't around, we wanted to just show one more time our VBS recap video. Great. We'll end with that. If you're